Welcome to Career Tools. This week, getting a referral. This cast answers these questions. Why are referrals so important? Duh. How do I get a referral and how do I use a referral? Folks, if you're an organization and you're looking for a way to spend some of your remaining fiscal or calendar year funds around training, we can definitely help. You can book client trainings up until October 1st of this year at today's price before our price increase goes into effect. And even if your training is in November, December, January, February, March, whenever, as long as you're willing to book the dates, we'll give you today's price for it. We always believe in Tiffany advice at Walmart prices, so we think we're underpriced. At least that's what everybody tells us. And so when we do add price increases, we want to give you a chance to get in at the lower price first. So give us a call or reach out to Maggie at manager-tools.com and we'll get you sorted. Thanks. I'm joined by Wendy Lord, our Career Tools Master. And I'm excited about this one. In fact, as I recall, when I reviewed the show notes, I said, please, can I do this one?
You said, please, may I do this one? And I said, yes, you may.
Okay, good.
Which is good because we should do the fun ones.
So look, I happen to be a big fan of referrals. You and I have said before for years that the two most important things in your career are results and relationships. And so many people are turned off from relationships because of this whole idea of networking and handing out business cards and so on. And it's not that at all, as you'll find out in our second most important Career Tools cast, which is about relationships, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the beauty of relationships is at times when you need them, they are a resource for you. And the way relationships play out in times of a job search is referrals. Referrals are the golden ticket in a job search. It's a result of the hard work you put into your network, right? It's not the reason you do it, but a referral can get you past a phone screen. It can get you past initial interviews. It can get you into just a chat with somebody, with a hiring manager, their boss. Now, these are not bosses who necessarily follow the manager tools way, because the manager tools way would be, no, everybody goes through the same process so that whomever is hired is well-respected and trusted by the team. But the purpose of this cast is to talk to you about how to get one of the golden tickets. However, you're not going to snap your fingers and have this happen, folks. It's just not going to happen that way. But, you know, by the mile it's trial, by the yard it's hard, by the inch it's a cinch, and the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And, you know, I can remember procrastinating on stuff like this. And there's the ant and the grasshopper story too. If you procrastinate long enough, pretty soon winter comes and you don't have a network. So if you need a job right now, what we're going to recommend here is probably not going to help you. But as Wendy writes in the show notes, listen anyway. It'll help you not being in the same circumstances again in the future.
I literally spoke to someone an hour ago who was fired from a relatively small company. It was a couple of hundred people, but it was run by one person who started the company, who was kind of volatile, as people who start companies sometimes are. Got fired, and I was saying to him, well, you're all right. You know, it's a really tight-knit network. It's a tight-knit industry. He has a really good network. And he said, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who was talking about my job search, and he didn't ask me any interview questions. I was like, yeah, no, that'll happen when you've got a really good network. And then he said, and he didn't ask me why I was fired. He just said, I would never work for that guy. And I didn't have to explain. And that was all based on 20 years of networking or building a network. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, not networking, but building a network. Yeah. And it's not really building a network. You're just creating relationships. Mm-hmm. What I worry about when we talk about these casts are the high C's. Mm-hmm. Those people who say, you know, I'm not a relationship person. I don't like to reach out. I don't like to connect with people. I'm more of an individualist and so on. Only because it takes all kinds to succeed. And in the same way that those of us who are high eyes don't like details, but we open spreadsheets and work with the details and know how to create formulas and pivot tables, the problem is the high C who has great skills and she's a wonderful teammate, if perhaps quiet and reserved, and a little bit of a perfectionist, which every team needs some of that. She is unable to make the transition because she's not one to create strong relationships. And so this cast is for you, High Seas. You can do it a little bit at a time. And it's not, you don't have to swallow it all at once. You don't have to shake too many hands. You don't have to smile too much or what is the phrase? Grin and there's something in grin, which is what politicians do. We don't want you to do that. Okay. So what's our outline, Wendy?
So first, identify managers you want to work for, make contact, build a relationship, and throw your hat in the ring.
Okay. So you're suggesting that rather than just meeting people, in addition to your normal meeting of people and being a friendly, pleasant, polite member, a citizen of society, and so on, you also want to have a little bit of targeting in there. You're suggesting that you ought to pay attention to those people who you respect, who you like, who you admire, and so on.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not an either-or proposition. We're not saying do this instead of broad networking.
I would agree.
We're saying do this and... And this is the part of the process that few people know and even fewer people do. And knowing where you want to work, why you want to work there, the managers that are there, the people that you want to work with is the first step to getting a referral to working with those people. You have to know who you want to be referred to. You know, there's a million goal setting things that say you have to know the destination before you can decide how you're going to get there, which is true. And, you know, in terms of career planning or building a network, what most people do is just, you know, set out with a goal in mind and a hope that they're setting out in roughly the right direction. Yeah. And what we're doing is taking a more direct route via some helpful people and hopefully getting there quicker.
Yeah. You know, you and I have talked about this a lot and the number of people who seem shocked that they were able to get their resume straight into some hiring manager's hands or to be on the bench of someone. It's not pie in the sky. It happens. You know, I have been saying to people for 16 years through our podcast, stay in touch with me, right? Reach out to me periodically, ask me how I'm doing, comment on manager tools and so on. Let me know how you're doing. And we'll, and I, less than 25 people in the last 16 years have done so. And I've helped those 25 people a lot more than I've helped everybody else with the podcast. I've made phone calls. I've referred resumes, all kinds of things. And it's not that hard in terms of difficulty, complexity, right? It's not. It's not complicated. It just takes some discipline and it takes some long-term stuff. And I admire it. How hard is it? I mean, remember our cast about relationships, Control Shift K, Control G in the old Outlook, which was stay in touch with Wendy Lord and then Control G, remind yourself to do that every 4 months, right? And if you're an analytical, a logical, a rational, a factual person, then that comes up on your task reminders and you do it. You send a quick note and so on. Yeah. All right. Sorry. I got excited. That's why I wanted to help on this cast.
Yeah. So putting your resume in the hands of somebody you want to have it is not pie in the sky, but you first have to know who that person is. And, and it's not as hard as you think to find out who those people are and make contact. On the other hand, it's not an instant win. So if you need a job next week, this isn't for you, but start doing this now.
Yeah.
And there are three strategies to finding people, and you can do all three at the same time. You don't have to do these sequentially, but they're three different strategies. And the first one is the organization strategy,
which is pick a company.
Choose the organization you want to work for and find out who works there.
And you could do that two different ways. We talk about orgs a lot because we want to distinguish between the company, the corporate name, Apple, and a particular division that interests you. So when you say organization, you might mean a division, a department, an area, or you might mean an entire company because you align with their goals and missions, vision, values, so on.
Right. And you might mean a location, but you, it might be a role. You know, like a legal or, you know, one of the support roles.
Sure. Okay.
And the first part of it is easy. You just choose someone you'd like to work for, and it can be because you love their products, like Apple, what you think what they do is exciting, like SpaceX, or important, like our friends at BASF.
Yeah,
or
that's a good
it's
one.
Just a nice place to work with good people, like everybody else we work with. And you want to do some research so that you have a list of more than just the usual suspects. You know, there's we can all list probably the Fortune 50 because we hear them so often. and all the big consumer brands because we hear them so often, but there's a billion other places to work, yeah, which are great places to work.
And let's just do an aside. We have to do a cast at some point in the future, Wendy, where we teach people how to learn about the places other people work. For instance, you happen to run into somebody at the grocery store and you say, oh, hi, excuse me, I was just going to get some peanut butter. I like Jif, creamy, in case you're wondering. And because crunchy is not even fully made peanut butter, why would you buy stuff that came off the line early? Right, it's not, they didn't finish it. They should give you a discount for that stuff. I don't even know why they sell it. They should just throw it away. So you're in the peanut butter aisle and you see somebody and he or she is dressed roughly like you. And you say, excuse me. And they say, oh, sorry. And they have, let's say they have a ton of potato chips and bean dip in their thing. And it's mm-hmm. Friday. And you said, oh, it looks like you're having a party. They say, yeah, actually, I'm getting ready. I'm buying for a Friday beer bash at our company. You say, oh, great. Hope you have a good time. Where do you work? And they say, oh, XYZ. You say, oh, is it a cool place? Is it good? Right? And they say, yeah, actually, it's really good. And, you know, they do the beer bashes and my boss is really good to me. You say, okay, great. By the way, that's just the art of conversation. It's not yes. rocket science. You need to learn to ask questions. And I have to tell you, one of the things I hosted some friends from golf this past weekend, and the difference between the 20-year-old and the 22 or 23-year-old that I played golf with before and played with them now, he was able to answer questions. And I said, he didn't ask questions, but in the beginning, he didn't ask questions. He didn't answer questions. It's almost like, okay, maybe by the time you're 25 or 26, you've learned. You have to learn to answer questions people put to you, and then you have to do the polite thing and ask questions back. And I see these kinds of conversations. People say, well, I don't know how to do it. I said, it's just having a conversation. Listen to yourself the next time you have a conversation and pay attention to the fact that conversational power passes between people based on questions and answers. And you can do that with anyone, in part because you're a nice person and curious and respectful and kind. And in part because asking questions of other people helps you learn about the world you live in. Mm-hmm. And you can say, you know, and this person who seems like a nice person says, actually, we do this every Friday. Everybody hates it. It's a total joke. They act like it's a big deal. We're hosting you. And they ask me to get the cheapest of everything. There are a couple of times I bought stuff with my own money because I didn't get reimbursed. But I got to do it. My boss says, I got to come down here. So I'll come down here. This is beneath him. And okay.
Yeah.
Good lesson there. Yeah. Yeah. So we're not just talking about, oh yeah, I gotta meet Tim Cook. We call that the rifle strategy mm-hmm. as opposed to the shotgun strategy, right? You can do it much more organically than that. And I would argue one of the things that makes this powerful is it empowers the local search, that
yes.
kind of grocery store conversation. People have no idea the companies that are 2 miles from them. None. Reason why? The only companies most people know about outside of your industry are companies that sell to consumers. Mm-hmm. But there are all kinds of business to business, and now you know what B2B stands for, business to business companies that are right around the block. For all you know, in fact, I bet money that for everybody listening to this show, there is a company that's within 5 miles of them that is thinking about a transition of a significant role that you would be perfect for, and you'll never hear of them, and it will absolutely pass you by, and you'll never know it did.
I've told this story before. I have a friend who left it. We were doing the same job, and he left, and he went to a company which made light switches for hospitals. That's the only thing they did, light switches
what?
For hospitals. And they were a good business, solid yeah. family business, but smallish, but really solid financially. And he was the happiest he'd ever been at this company that nobody has ever heard of.
Yes.
Unless you buy light switches for hospitals.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but if you're reading the news and professional publications and posts by people in your network on LinkedIn, those are all good sources of places you've never heard of.
Never heard of.
As well as all the conversations you can have with people in the grocery store. Or the other thing that people often have are name badges, especially at lunchtime if they've gone to the grocery store. They'll have their badge still on them and you can ask that. Oh, I see you work at whatever. Never heard of them. What do they do?
And look, you know, we talk about pie in the sky. Somebody said to me the other day, I know who it was. Mark Madigan, one of Mike's colleagues at MCI years ago. His nephew, Jack, had graduated, and he was interested in a career in aeronautics. He's an aeronautical engineering graduate. Smart, sharp kid, young, professional. And I said, well, you know, we train 900 managers at SpaceX. I could refer you to SpaceX, and I know some people at Blue Origins. And he couldn't even believe it.
No.
Now, his uncle, Mark, who I admire greatly, had referred him to me, and he didn't really know who I was. Oh yeah, podcast, whatever, blah blah blah. I said, sure, no, I know this guy, and you know, I'll be happy to put you in touch with him. I've never met the kid, but in 15 minutes, I was impressed. And I think you have to have an optimistic attitude. In fact, there are people who I haven't helped because when I talk to them, the pessimism just reek of pessimism. Well, you can't do that because this and that'll never work. What are the chances? 10%? I said, yeah, the chances are 10%. Take 100 swings and you'll get 10 hits.
Right.
I mean, you can only go to work for one company. I think everybody just wants to be magically plopped down with no, they want to go from one side of the river, the roaring river that's past flood tide, into the other one magically.
Yeah, it doesn't happen without some work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So once you've identified a company, then you need to identify a person or people who manage the departments that you want to work for. And it's fairly unusual for there to be a lot of publicity or information on websites, company websites, about first line managers. But that doesn't mean you can't find them. So I was thinking about our clients and thinking, who can I use as an example? So I thought, okay, let's try an IT role at the University of Melbourne, where our friends work.
Yeah.
And so we'll demonstrate how that can be done. So if I look at the University of Melbourne's website the day I wrote this, there was a job posted for a software developer. And the posting has information about the location, the faculty, which is it's a university, the division, so it's the equivalent of a division, and some other organizations that person in the role will work with. And then using that data, I can find the systems administrator for the department. And on her LinkedIn profile, she had written, "I'm hiring."
Oh my.
It was like a 2-minute search to find out who the manager for that role is. So now I know if I want a software developer role in that organization, she would be a great person to know. It took me 2 minutes, and now all I have to do is make contact, which we'll talk
about. Yeah, and you got to get to know them. Fine, that's not hard. Okay, good. So that's one thing, identify the org.
Okay, so the next one is professional groups. So this is identify the people you'd like to work with and join their company wherever they are.
When you say join their company, you mean spend time with them?
No, I mean find out in the professional group, find people you like and go, okay, I'd like to work with you. I don't care what the company is as long as I get to be with you, kind of.
Yeah, I'll tell you, people miss that. They identify with a company and they don't realize how much the company fades away. Certainly values and so on matter, and those tend to permeate down. But boy, the lens and the filter all becomes your boss and your colleagues. Work with a bunch of jerks, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how great you think the company is, it's not going to work, and you're going to be miserable, and you're going to take it home to your spouse and your kids, and no fun.
Yeah, people join companies and leave managers. That's what they used to say to us. So.
Good, okay.
So using this strategy, you start with the people and you choose the company based on their role. So formal professional groups such as associations or informal groups like you find up at meetup.com or semi-professional groups like Toastmasters or Rotary all allow you to meet professionals. And most of those groups have some kind of event, even if it's kind of an informal thing. And events require organization. And so if you volunteer to organize something, you can see how people work and decide whether or not you want to work with those people. How you do one thing is how you do everything.
And you know, I think it's funny. It's unfortunate in America anyway. I don't know about the history outside of America here. There has been a darkening of the aura of the past in America for the wrong reasons. 50 years ago in America, let's go 60 years ago when I was born in 1960, the workforce was male dominated. There are a lot of reasons for that, good ones. It's not necessarily because women were oppressed. And because of that, the way in which people got jobs in the 50s and 60s during an incredibly booming economy somehow has become known as the Old Boys Club, which the Old Boys Club certainly exists. There's no question about that. But the idea of a man, but now today could be a man or woman, a mom or dad, being a member of Rotary, being a member of Toastmasters, coaching a kid's little league team, all of those things went into how he, and I say it freely, how he, because that was, that's what history was. Unfortunately, we hadn't figured out yet that women are equally as capable as men. And someday they'll won't have to deal with physical, verbal, and sexual harassment in the workplace. That day is coming. And they would make connections with other people. And then if they were an ethical, kind, successful person, other people connected with them. And then they said, you know, Bob or Joe, you might want to talk to my boss about a job at my firm. Now, this was a time when people tended to stay with one company, but that's only for the very largest of companies. For smaller companies, it wasn't that way, according to historical data my firm, Horseman & Company, got to look at years ago. And unfortunately, that's sort of seen as the Old Boys Club. And there's a tinge, a darkening of the patina of that that somehow makes it bad. But in fact, that's the job referral and marketplace today. People get to know one another. And I will argue that our phones, our cell phones, have made us much more insular as individuals because we feel we can connect with others through our phones. And that is a way that you can expand your network, expand the number of relationships you have. Certainly, there's no question about that. The problem is, in my estimation, is your community needs you. Mm-hmm. Toastmasters needs you. Rotary needs you. Kiwanis needs you. Lions needs you. Your school district needs you. I would maybe your kid's private school needs you. If you're sending your kids to a private school, how do you not know a bunch of the other parents?
Yeah.
And then find out what they do. Because if you're a professional, isn't that one of the first five questions?
Yes.
You ask what you do. And, oh, I know, I'm going to get in trouble. People's going to write, well, that insults people who don't work. You work in the home, dude. You're that's what you do. You're plenty busy. And you may be smarter and more successful than me. So there's no bias intended there. And I just think that people don't do this. They don't think about, hey, I like him. And, you know, she's really sharp. She reminds me of my boss's boss. Where does she work? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't want to ask her, you can ask him, hey, where does Shirley work? Oh, she's over here doing this or that and the other thing. Well, you're all equal at Toastmasters. You're all equal at Rotary. You're all equal coaching soccer because none of us are any good at soccer. And we're all too old probably to do it. And you go up and you say, hey, you shake hands and say, good team and whatever. And then you ask what they do. And next thing you know, you're in contact.
Got a job. Yeah.
And the sad part about this is people aren't investing in their communities. And because of that, there's a knock-on effect of not connecting with people who that's a professional group they could benefit from.
The secondary benefit is it introduces you to companies that you wouldn't ordinarily consider.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, if he works there and she works there and I like both of those people, chances are I might like working there. And the other thing it does is give you a heads up where the organizations are that people work which you wouldn't want to work with.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah. A lot of the time, companies that we know, you know, I really like the brand name or the what I know of this company. And then you find out three people that work there are people you can't tolerate. Then
yeah. Yeah.
Don't work there.
Some of my favorite brands in the world I would never, ever work for. I'm not a fit. I admire what they do. I respect what they do. I disagree with some of the ways how they do it. But man, I want to be associated with those brands. So there you go.
And it might seem like an odd strategy because most people think they choose the company they work for. But like, if you consider how many times the company we work for is bought or sold or reorganized or outsourced or insourced or a multitude of other variations, the company name becomes way less important than the people you work with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. The other thing too is if you want to work at XYZ, you certainly ought to know their competitors, because if you find out XYZ, as I did a few years ago, that one of the companies whose brands I really like, I could just never work at. A bunch of people I love work there. I really admire, but I could never work there. I like the brand. I like the space they're in. I want to be connected to that space. By knowing this company, I know all of their competitors just because they're mentioned, just because it comes up in conversation, because that's what professionals talk about. They talk about work. How's work? I just had a bunch of high school friends up here for 4th of July weekend. And, you know, how's work? Good. Yeah, good. Or you forgot I retired because we're old.
Okay, so then the last strategy is the sideways strategy, which is identifying people who are adjacent to managers you want to work for and get to know them. So sometimes it could be difficult to make contact with a particular manager who you would want to work with or for. Like perhaps you're currently working with websites and what you really want to move into is the marketing creation side. And so it wouldn't be abnormal for you to join a professional organization for marketing, but maybe it costs a lot of money and you don't want to like make the outlay with the hope that you're going to get there. So instead, you might join a group that's within your current specialism and make contact with people who work with marketing in the company that you want to go to. So you can make this a first step if you're concerned about, you know, hanging out with people who aren't like you, or making contact with a hiring manager immediately, or if a company is difficult to infiltrate. You know, if you're finding it difficult, this sideways two-step strategy sometimes works.
Hey, folks, I've got some Manager Tools news for you. Right now, in November, we will be launching Manager Tools version of a disk tool. So it might be a good time for you to consider coming to a virtual Effective Communicator conference. And it just so happens we happen to have one scheduled on the 29th of September, just a couple of weeks after this podcast comes out. The VIECC does something that, as I've said before, I learned, it's like the most important tactical thing I learned in my professional life, that communication is what the listener does, and we will help you practice changing how you communicate with different people in order to get better results. You may think that being authentic, being yourself, just being the same self all the time is a good technique, but no, you've got to be willing to modify your behavior. It's just behavior. It doesn't change who you are inside. And you got to know what those behaviors are, and you got to know how to change them. And we'll teach you both of those, and then we'll test you on it by the end of the day. One of my favorite training sessions of all time, Virtual Effective Communicator Conference, taking place September 29th. Hope to see you there.
So once you've identified the right people, then you have to make contact. And we sometimes think of people who work in companies as in this like citadel that you can't breach. We think of, you know, oh, I want to work at Apple and I'd never be able to get in there. But I tell you, people at Apple go to the grocery store too, I've heard. And when we think about those companies, we wonder, like, how do I find out who runs software engineering? Well, we just showed you. It takes 2 seconds. And then let alone, how do I make them take my call or email? And actually, it's surprisingly easy to make contact with anybody, especially with Google, right?
So yeah.
First way you
well, might. Especially with the help of Google, as opposed to you're not talking about Google the company, although it's easy there too. It's easy everywhere.
Yeah, online search.
It is a common misapprehension that it's hard. It's not. Now, are there people who will resist? Sure, of course. And there are plenty of people who won't resist.
So one way is online publishing. So does the manager that you've identified have a professional blog or Twitter or LinkedIn where they post their thoughts? You can respond to their posts or tweets or articles to begin the relationship. So don't just find a profile and then email them and say, I'd love to work with you. Have you got a job? That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I have coffee with you? People do that all the time. I'm in Pebble Beach from 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. and I've set that time aside to have coffee with you. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know who you are. I know you're a fan and that's great. I don't know who you are and I'm working. I can't do it that day. And then I get a note like, well, maybe next year I'll come back. And there seems to be some hurt feelings. Like, that's not how you do it. I mean, the guy says, I've been listening for years and I don't know the guy exists. We don't have an account for him. I don't have an email address for him. And then suddenly I'm supposed to move my schedule around. That's hard to do and it's unlikely. And because I talk to people about staying in touch with me, I feel an obligation to do those things. Most people don't. But yeah, you don't just say, I'd love to work for you.
Instead, you just post genuine replies and remarks on what they post. And even the biggest bloggers notice people who post regularly in reply, which is how I got this job, if you ever wondered.
Yeah, that's the story, right? Mm-hmm. You were posting in the forums, helping people who were asking questions, because we realized when we started Manager Tools that people had career questions. And so we decided, if you remember back in the beginning, we did 3 manager behavior-based casts a month, and then we did a career cast. And when 2008 hit, I realized we needed more career casts, and that's when we agreed to start Career Tools. But yeah, you were posting the forums, and I think I wrote to you several times and says, these are really good answers. This is better. And of course, you're a high D, so you're very direct and no nonsense. You didn't try to make people feel better about the dumb things they said, which is fine because there are a lot of dumb people about careers. It's fine. You don't go to class for it. Why would you expect yourself to be smart about it? And as I recall, you were thinking about starting your own resume review service.
Yeah, I would review resumes for my friends and they'd say, you should get paid for this. And I was like, meh, I don't know.
Yeah. And I said, don't do that.
Do it for us.
Come to work for us.
And I did.
And that was how many years ago?
13? Maggie's the one who can always remember. I can't.
Yeah. She's been here 14 or 15. So you're right behind her. Yeah.
There you go. Next, professional group. So is the manager that you want to get to know part of a professional group that you can join? So it's easy to overreach here. So we have a little rule for you. Ask yourself, if the manager were not part of this group, would it still make sense for me to join? Yeah. So in other words, if you're thinking of joining a Toastmasters group, if the manager that you want to get to know was not a Toastmaster in that group, would it still make sense for you to go? In most cases, because I'm a Toastmasters fan, I would say yes. But
you know. Yes, because Toastmasters is generally, they're apolitical about that. They don't care if you go to one and if you live in Silicon Valley, they don't care if you go to one in San Francisco or in Oakland or wherever. I mean, it's a burden maybe to drive, but yeah, as long as you find a connection.
On the other hand, if they're part of the PTA, the Parent Teacher Association, yes, and you don't have a child at that school, joining the PTA is weird. You know, like just to get to know someone, that's an overreach.
Yeah. And here's another thing, posting on the forums that you're looking to talk to someone in the area or the company you're looking at. Why not?
Yeah.
There's a great story that was in Golf Magazine a few years ago about a guy who had played all 100 golf courses, the top 100 golf courses in the world. And that's a lot of golf. And many of them are very private, very exclusive clubs like Cypress Point, Augusta, and so on, Pine Valley. And he said one of the big things he did was tell people, yeah, it's one of my things. I just played this. I played Marion last week, or I played, Pebble Beach. And, I had a great time. I checked it off my list. I'm trying to play the top 100 courses in the world. Now, the hard gets, the ones that are difficult are, you know, Cypress and Augusta, for instance. Chicago Golf Club is another that's tough, great, great golf course. And so you have to tell people. And then because you say that, they say one person out of 100 says, well, actually, I'm a member at Cypress. And if you'd like, you seem like a great guy. I just played golf with you. You're a great guy. If you'd like, I could host you. Well, boom, check one off. And it's because you're clear about it. Yeah, I'm looking to expand my career and think differently. And for some reason, people say, oh, I can't do it. I can't say that. Sure, you can. You absolutely can. Oh, I'm thrilled to meet you. You work at SpaceX?
Oh, my gosh. I've always wanted to work there. Tell me about it.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me all about it. Absolutely. And you don't have to be a fanboy. Mm-mm. You can just ask questions. What about this? And what about that? And what about that? And what about that? And then stay in touch. And if they like you and they're hiring, they'll reach out to you. And if they're not hiring, stay in touch with them. We're not thinking this is a rifle shot and you're going to get one and it's going to be the golden ticket. It doesn't work that way. Okay. It's about discipline. And every once in a while, the more disciplined person is more lucky than the person who's undisciplined.
So next strategy or next step, we've made contact. Now another way is to get introduced. So do you know someone who will make an introduction for you? And this is the best use of LinkedIn. If you look up that manager's profile, it'll tell you who they're connected to that you are also connected to. So who is the link between you? And right. You can ask that party to introduce you. Now, it works best if you're introduced as a sort of warm referral, like, oh, John, I'd like you to meet my friend Paul. He's a software engineer at Acme, and we worked together on the Zulu project. He's a smart guy and a true professional. That gives you a really good start to your relationship because the person is expecting you who are smart and professional.
Yep.
If you don't have a relationship with the go-between such that they would give you that kind of referral, then you need to work on the relationship between you and the go-between, which is why this is not a short-term strategy.
Yeah, but and even if you don't know someone who can make an introduction, there are ways to find someone, right? I mentioned about the 100 best golf course in the world. You know, it happens all the time. And you have to have an optimistic mindset. You have to have a service mindset for the people you're with. You have to say to people, oh yeah, I'd love, you know, I'm always looking for great opportunities. This is the open to opportunities mentality. Somebody asked me once, you know, I was listening to Career Tools a few years ago and it's amazing how everything fits together. And I'm kind of like, yeah, it's amazing. We just fell into it.
Yeah, we got lucky there.
Yeah, yeah. And again, going back to the golf story, the guy who was wanting to play the 100 best courses, cheerful, friendly, energetic, polite person. If you sit in your downstairs in your man cave, sorry, folks, and you send out resumes, nobody knows you. And if they don't know you, they're not going to give you a warm referral. And then you're going to have to go over the wall, over the moat without the drawbridge down, and then over the wall with the archer shooting at you, rather than having the warm referral lowering the drawbridge, opening the portcullis and saying, come on in, let's have a chat.
And if you can't find a path or a connection immediately, don't force one. As we said earlier, this is a long-term effort. Put those people's names on a list somewhere and periodically check it and pay attention to opportunities that might provide an organic way to make contact. So for example, you might not be able to find a go-between now, but you might meet someone at an industry conference next month who could help you. And having the list, having those people in mind helps you see those opportunities even when you're not looking at the list. It's one of those like weird things like when you write a list and then you forget it. When you go to the grocery store, you still manage to get 90% of the things on the list.
Yeah, and because it's a long-term effort, there's a good chance they'll post an opening while you're going through this whole process. And maybe it won't be the perfect time, but who knows? Maybe it will be. As long as it's a role you're qualified for, apply. That's another way that the drawbridge goes down. We're going to talk to you. We're going to look at your resume. The worst thing that can happen is the hiring manager sees your resume and not interview. And hey, when you do meet him, you say, actually, I submitted my resume and you guys didn't respond back. And he's going to be embarrassed. You say, dude, don't be embarrassed. It happens all the time. This is not a big deal.
Yeah, I just want to let you know so that you don't find out later and are even more embarrassed kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's very good. I agree. Yeah.
So once we've got contact, we can build a relationship. So most people go wrong because they try to build the relationship with the end goal of getting a job. Instead, think of it as building a genuine relationship with someone you think of as interesting, smart, or technically astute who you would want to get to know, even if they never offer you a job. And this, by the way, is the goal of every relationship, to develop it without the thought of what's in it for me.
Yeah, actually, the way to get more of what's in it for you is to give more of what's in it for them. The more people you serve, the more people who will end up serving you. And yes, there are a few jerks out there that you will serve them and serve them and serve them and get nothing in return. Okay, fine. The vast majority of people are not like that. And believe me, the favor economy, I do you a favor, I owe you one, absolutely works. And, you know, I'm a member of a private golf club and there are people who ask me to host people and I'm happy to do it. Sure, no problem. You're a friend of mine. I'm happy to do it. And then I ask them a couple of times and they don't say no. I don't host anymore. I mean, like, okay, you don't get it. And that's okay. But I'm not really hanging out with you that much anymore. Yeah, I'm just too busy. I got this. I got that. But because I live here, I'm right near the course. People assume, well, Mark will do it. Mark will do it. Well, I'm no longer a friend. I'm a useful idiot to them.
Right.
Well, yeah.
It's like the guy who always borrows your tools, but never is never there to, you know, help you build a fence.
And then thinks, then is affronted when he says, hey, I need to borrow a tool. Yeah, no. Yeah. Dude, you started it. So, yeah.
So a few things not to do. Don't ask questions which are designed to show how smart you are. Like, we're not just trying to impress people here. Don't give a presentation just because you want to show how persuasive you are. Oh, like you can see my presentation skills, which makes you think I would be good at the job. Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
Like, do these things and whatever else seems interesting and useful for their own sake. Allow the person who you're interested in or who you want to impress to draw their own conclusions. Because one of the things about human beings is if we think it's our idea, it's way better.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else about the presentation thing, if I may. Sorry to interrupt. I'm amazed at the number of people who follow that rule of, well, I'm going to go make a presentation so they can see me present. And they make the fundamental error of accepting, like say in a club, I'll present on that. And they present because they want to present, and they're presenting on something that they're not an expert on already. I'm like, dude, you cannot do that. You can never, ever, ever do that. If it's a casual situation, if it's a quasi-professional situation, only present on something that you are an absolute expert on and that you're sharing your knowledge. And there will be a couple of, you know, small wins in there for other people. You know, if people say, hey, could you talk to us about Wall Street? Yeah, I've worked on Wall Street a lot, but no.
No.
No, no, I'm not going to do it. Hey, you're the guy who knows the most about it. Yeah, no, no. There's going to be one sharpshooter in the room who says, well, I worked there and this and this. And I'm going to have to spend a lot of time preparing the presentation, whereas preparing a presentation about what I do at work, easy. I already have them, actually.
And remember that even when you're doing things around the relationship with the person you identified, there's other people in the room, and those people might have even better opportunities for you. So don't exclude people just because you think
Get tunnel vision. Don't get tunnel vision. You know, yes, you want Rachel, the person in the room, to be most pleased, but say hello to Jose, say hello to Ricardo, say hello to Ananda, say hello to Trevor and to Eldon and to, I mean, everybody, and answer questions and so on. And if you end up being mobbed afterwards and Rachel, the person you wanted to connect with, actually leaves, that's okay. You'll get another chance. You got to take your time. You got to be disciplined about it.
And because the Manager Tools guy is here, the Manager Tools one-on-ones happen weekly for 30 minutes because we know that frequent short interactions build relationships more quickly and that which are more abiding than longer infrequent meetings. So keep this in mind as you build the relationship.
Yeah. Any single one-on-one doesn't matter. It's the pattern over time and the ability of your brain to make, in some cases, subconscious connections. And relationships don't happen like a comet or a meteor. They happen steadily. It's like building a wall out of bricks, one brick at a time. And you just keep doing it one brick at a time, one brick at a time. And pretty soon, you have a really solid relationship. Now, look, if the only time you can meet is an industry conference that happens once a year, then, okay, that'll have to do. But there are a million other ways to stay in contact now. I mean, there's email, there's LinkedIn. There's blog posts, there's Twitter, right? And every interaction, each time, you deepen the relationship a tiny bit more. All right. I think our last thing is
throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah. Okay.
So once you have a relationship, there's a good chance that your contact will ask for your advice when hiring or mention it in passing without asking you directly about the role. Like they have a software development role, you'd love to work for them. You're a software developer and they say, hey, do you know anybody? And you think, well, how do I say, yes, I know someone, me. And the answer is, you don't, sort of.
You got to tell us this.
If you want to hear the long version of this, it's in the How to Deal with Recruiters cast. But the short version is you suggest someone else, and then you suggest yourself. So maybe even two people's other people. So you tell them the person's name, what they do, and you make a positive reference. So for example, I have a guy in mind. His name is Jerry Conti. He's over there in our process group, and he's really sharp, particularly with larger projects like that which you're mentioning or talking.
Yeah,
and if you give me 24 hours, I'll let him know that I shared his name and you can call him. And then after you suggest someone else, you say, that's a role I could be interested in as well. If you're interested, then I'll be happy to talk about it further.
Yeah, I would say, got to tell you, that's something I could be interested in as well. Jerry's great, but if there's an opportunity for me to talk further with you, I'd love that. You know, up to you.
Relax.
Yeah.
Calm. No pressure.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't say, well, that's actually what I hope to achieve is to come to work for you guys. It's funny, this whole idea of, well, I'm going to recommend Jerry, but I'm also interested, reminds me very much of the number two podcast we have where we say, look, when the board is asking among all the CEOs directs, who is going to take the top job? What the question they ask is, if not you, because at that level, the egos are such that I'll do it, right? And now we all know. So what they do is they ask, who's second? After you, who would you most be willing to work for? And there tends to be a coalescence around one, maybe two people on the board among the CEO's directs, where it's pretty obvious. Yeah, if it's not going to be me, it's going to be Joe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's not going to be me, it's going to be Joe. Yeah, if it's not going to be me, then probably the guy I'd like to work for is Joe. Okay.
Yeah, Joe's got the job.
We got our guy. So by the same token, you mention someone else out of respect and courtesy, and then it's not wrong for you to say, and it could also be me. You just say that second.
So getting referrals are the golden ticket, but they're not as hard to win as you think. Just most people don't do the work to make sure that they're in the running.
Exactly.
First, decide who, then work out how you can get to know them, and then just be you. You'll probably have some fun along the way, as well as being in the winning circle.
I'll tell you, it's ant and grasshopper. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of grasshoppers saying, I really am in trouble. Yeah, okay, you were in trouble. You were preparing for your trouble a year ago. It was like you're building a house of trouble just for yourself. So stop building a house of trouble. Be like the ant. Be diligent. Decide who you want to work around, who you want to work with, what kind of brands or companies you want to be associated with, and start the process. And by the mile, it's a trial, by the inch, it's a cinch.
Yeah, everybody thinks they want to be strategic, but they never do anything other than tactics.
Right.
This is strategic.
Yeah, but they can do tactical stuff exactly, within the strategic framework. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good. Wendy, thank you for letting me join you on Career Tools.
Thank you. It was fun. Bye, everyone.